All right. All right, we got a little off track this morning, so let's see if we can get back to the Gemara here. All right, so the question we left off with was, what's the comparison from the Hoil case of Shabbos to Yom Kippur and the case of Hoil from Shabbos to Shabbos, right? Did you get a chance to do the Balaam, the Ramban? Okay. All right, so what do you say here? What do you say? Why is it? Why is it so clear to the Gemara that if he held, he can't make a gzeira on Yom Kippur because of Shabbos, that he can't have a gzeira not to swallow the chometz in the afternoon because you're allowed to swallow it in the morning, right? One is Shabbos. One is a consistency within the din itself, it would seem. The other is a separate din, that Yom Kippur can't be more chomer than Shabbos. Yeah, before we get there. Before we get to an answer, though, let's analyze more carefully the case of Refuah. Okay? Let's analyze the case of Refuah more carefully. Okay, so what is the formulation of this Isser? And why, according to Rava, would it make sense to have a form? In other words, remember, without this idea of Hoil, he was happy with the formulation that in the morning it's mutter and in the afternoon it's asur, right? So what's the formulation? Can you show me the difference between the formulation of that we conclude with and the and this formulation? You know what I'm trying to ask? Yeah, let's just define more clearly now, for instance, there are two formulations in the Gemara, right, in the Mishnah. There's Megamea Upole, that's Vaday Asra. There's no question about that. And then there's Gomeo Bolea. So can you explain to me, in simple terms, what's the difference between those two formulations? What's the nature of the Isser, and what's the difference in these two cases? So what's the nature of the Isser? It's similar to the case we were dealing with by the tefillah, right? Right. The Isser is a Maisa Refuah, right? Because of the Gzeiro Shchika Samamona. So, Gomea, Megamea Upolet. What doesn't Rashi say? What does Rashi say? The Muchacha Milsa the Refuah of it. Right? It has the same kind of an idea. That Megamea Upolet, so the guy takes the vinegar in his mouth and he spits it out. So that's Nikar Mitocho that it's a refuah. Right? Just from the tzura of the maisa itself that he's doing, it's a maisa refuah. Correct? So that's Vaday. That's Vaday Asr. That's a normal formulation of the Isser of Venisa Drabonan. The maisa itself that is Nikar. The Maisa that by its own terms describes refuah or appears like a Maisa refuah. Or is a Maisa refuah, right? But what's the other case? Yeah, you're saying on this?
That would be a swimming for waking up.
That's a good question. It's a good question. But what's the case of Megamea Ubolea? What's Rava's Svar over here? According to the way we have Rava. Go ahead. What's that?
That's Mutter before and Dasra.
Right. So how is he understanding the Isser? So as Rashi say, Kodem Achila Megameo Boled Lo Mucha Milsa Zerfud. The Savri Chomet Zahani Le Lemecho. It just looks like he's eating. But afterwards, it's Muchach. How is it Muchach? Because if he really liked to drink chometz, he would have drunk it with his meal or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what it's not mealtime, so he's obviously not, he already had his food. This wasn't part of his food. Yeah, so in other words, it's obvious. Just express it.
Circumstances change. So, under certain circumstances, the second you'll wait to assess
Right, so the first formulation of Megameo Polate is a definite, is Muchach Mitocho, what I was saying before. So that's Muchach Mitocho from the very Maisa itself. Anybody viewing the Maisa it's nicker that it's refuah, because it's not, he's not involved in the maisa achila at all. It only is a maisa of it's not a maisa achila at all. But Rava was saying that. Rava was saying that what? That there's another way to define maisa refuah, not from the maisa itself, but from the circumstances. Right? That was his svara. We say that a maisa refuah, maisa refuah is aser, has to be muchach that's for refuah. But he's saying aside for something that is obvious just on its face, there's also something that a person can determine that it's refuah from a deduction of the circumstances, right? And that also is part of this. They were gozer. How would they formulate? I was going to Rava. How would you formulate it? That what? And what's the formulation of the isser that it's going to make it usser in the afternoon but mutter in the morning? How do they form? What was the formulation of the isser? Right. In other words, it's a question of how you're defining the question of where you're deriving the character of the maisa refuah from. Right. When there goes there, see, it's interesting. I mean, in this gezeira, they are goes there on a certain kind of an idea, right? And that goes around particulars. They don't say, don't take Advil, don't take Tylenol, don't take, right? It's the isser is on maisa refuah. The isser is on maisa refuah, correct? But the question is, how do you define maisa refuah? Is maisa refuah defined only from the from the character of the maisa itself? Or can we define what's a maisa refuah from the circumstances? Correct? The difference is that if you go with the circumstances, then what? Then what emerges? Then what emerges? Chaim, this is where you wanted to take over? Then what emerges? What emerges is a certain discrepancy.
You're telling me what really we do on the maisa refuah.
A discrepancy in what? There's a discrepancy
in how this maisa exists in Shabbos.
That's right. There's a discrepancy in terms of the physical act. In other words, there's always two layers when we're talking about activities. Right? There's the physical action, and then there's what it is a part of. Correct? Right? Like in the addendum, this is what we had discussed. So the physical action, certain maisei refuah from the action itself is a maisei refuah. Right? All you're doing is exposing the chom, your mouth to the chomets. You're bathing your tooth in the chomets. Right? That's the extent of your action. And how is that the extent of your action? Because it's not part of any achila. It's purely a maisa of gargling with the chomets. Right? But if you swallow the chametz, so then that is a mice, the action that you're doing is achilas chametz. Right? In terms of the physical structure of the maisa, it's ingesting the chametz. Correct? And depending on the circumstances, it will either appear or not appear to be part of an activity of refuah. Understand, the ingestion of the chomates could either be part of a larger activity of achila, or it could be part of a larger activity of refuah. Correct? But the maisa itself, in other words, sometimes the maisa, by definition, is limited to one kind of an activity, like megameo polate. That's only limited to refuah, because it doesn't partake of any other activity. It's not the start of it. It's not a part of another thing. But Megamea Ubolea is part of a, is an action of ingestion, which could be part of two separate activities. It could be part of an activity of achila, or it could be part of an activity of refuah. Just like if a person goes to a tree and starts cutting at it, he could either be destroying the tree or he can be pruning the tree. The maisa itself is cutting, but cutting is just the maisa. You have to ask what activity is he involved in. Is he involved in pruning? Is he involved in harvesting? Is he involved in destroying? You understand? A particular action gets its character, has a certain character, and that character is what we call the activity that it's a part of. Correct? So what Rava is saying is that on Shabbos they made the gzera in terms of the activity, not in terms of just the maisa. So therefore, the maisa refuah is defined, is not limited to a maisa that's defined from the action. It includes a maisa refuah that's only defined by the scope, by the greater scope of the activity. So therefore, in the morning, it's not nicker that it doesn't have the exclusive shame of refuah, because the morning is a time the person could eat. So it's also simply, it can be included as a maisa achila. But in the afternoon, he's saying it's excluded from achila. Now it's just refuah. Okay. So what does this have to do with Ho'el? Go ahead. Now Chaim is going to explain it. So the question is, what is wrong with formulating the gzera this way? What is wrong with formulating the gzera this way? Now we have to do a little bit of backwards planning over here. We have to do a little bit of deconstruction, correct? Because we don't really want to think completely freely on this question. Right? It has to somehow, we have to look for something that's a problem that would also be a problem in going from Yom Kippur from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. Right? We have to find a problem here that would mirror a problem over there. So what would that problem be? I mean, we're asking what's the principle of Ho'el, really asking, right? What's the question? What's the idea of Ho'el? Alright, so what is it? So in other words, it seems like this. What's the idea of Ho'el? The idea of Ho'el is saying that Chazal will not set up a system of mitzvah. It will not institute a mitzvah that has a certain, that the keeping of it, that the structure of it has itself creates, has a certain effect. What is that effect? What is that effect? They won't, it's not proper to set up a system of mitzvah that gives an impression to the average person, the average follower, of a capriciousness or of a lack of a lack of an objective standard. In other words, let's go to the guy on Shabbos. So if we had this din that you could do this action in the morning but not in the afternoon, it gives the impression to the person that there's no reality over here. It's just a matter of games. It's like a matter of, you know, how you frame the thing, or you know, there's a certain, it's a certain zilzal to the system of mitzvah. Ho'el is a certain zilzal. To say that we hold from Ho'el means we won't implement what we should implement if there's a chance that it gives an impression of zilzal to the system itself. You see what I mean? So we don't, there has to be a certain respect for the halacha. There has to be a certain attitude towards the halacha as an inviolable entity. But if I tell a person, well, you can't do it this way is absolutely usur, but this way is totally mutter. The same exact maisa, that was the problem. Can you have something where the same exact maisa is going to, even though it's principled and it makes perfect sense in terms of the gzera, but in actuality, it's going to create an impression in the practitioner that there's nothing, that these things are not as solid as they seemed. Because the same exact action is sometimes okay and sometimes not okay. And I'm doing it for the same exact reason. I'm really a chola, I really want a refuah. And in the morning I'm allowed to do this for my refuah, and in the afternoon I'm not. So where is the consistency? Where's the objectivity over here? Seems like it creates a lack of. It sort of opens up to a person who's not a Talmud Chacham. It breaks down somewhat the respect of for the system. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that if Rava held even from Shabbos to Yom Kippur, which are two totally different yomim, but in a person's mind he views them the same, that if Rava held that even from Shabbos to Yom Kippur we are concerned with a slight discrepancy that a person might note in his mind, and think to himself, well, Shabbos and Yom Kippur are basically the same, so you see, it's mutter on Yom Kippur, so the rabbis are just torturing us on Shabbos. Right? If Rava really held from the ho-wheel over there, that's not even a ho-wheel, that's even if it's just a cave-in over there, even if he held it over there, then al-achas kama v'kama on the same day, he would have to hold that way. You understand? If he held that there's a principle in instituting din that we have to be mindful of the overall impression that it's going to create, and he's so mindful that he will not even go from two different days that in a person's mind have a certain hierarchy, and he does not want to, he will not institute. He holds that they cannot institute a gzeira that will undermine an ideal of Shabbos being a chomer day. You understand? Now, the point of this is like this. The point I'm trying to make is that ho-wheel and the keva and these types of things, these are super halachic guidelines. You have to understand. This is what I was trying to find for you in the realm of. I'll have to find for you another time. That in any system, there. Aside for the rules of what are allowable moves and what are not allowable moves, there are also overall guidelines to say, although something technically is allowable, there's another concern that overrides it. I'll give you an example. Like in diktuk, right? I don't profess to be and by any stretch of the meaning, an expert in diktuk. But there are certain things that I have observed. So you do see sometimes, for instance, that in diktuk, they'll say, the word really should be like this, the conjugation should really result like this, but because it's too difficult to say, we drop a nun. Okay? So what does that mean? It means like this. There are certain rules of grammar, right? But there's an overall objective. You can't do something that's not within the rules. That's not an admissible thing. That's not a maisa of the system. But we can reject certain things. We could say, look, it's true the rules would demand this, but the overall objective is communication and speech. And if it's going to result in something that is that's going to undermine the basic principle, a basic objective, that's not coming from the rules itself. Sometimes things result from the rule themselves. Sometimes they result from an overall objective, an overall guideline. So, say the rules will demand, enpol, but it gets swallowed up on the tongue, so it's epol, right? All the nuns. The nuns almost always fall off because it's too hard to conjugate with a future tense with a nun, in the ani. So in a similar sense, that's what they're questioning over here. Nobody is discussing over here the questions of the rules of gezeros. Of course, it's legitimate in terms of the dine, in terms of the ideas of can you make a gzera or can you not make a gzera? Is this a legitimate form of a gzera or is it not a legitimate form of a gzera? There's no question that there's a legitimate form of a gzera that would include refuah, that would make it a mutter in the morning and usher in the evening. But does Rava say that it's part of the obligation of instituting a gzeira to be mindful of overall impression of the system? That's the question of Hoel. And if he does, and it would be expressed in both of these cases, or at least if it's expressed, if he goes so far as to say it's expressed in the Yom Kippur to Shabbos case, certainly it would be expressed over here. You understand? The Yom Kippur, the Shabbos case, means that a person in his mind views Shabbos as something that's chamor, as the source and the ideal institution of malacha. To make a gzeira that's worthy of being made on the terms of the dinim of being of gzeiros, but to disallow it because it would have a repercussion in the way the person views the system. Or another aspect of the system, if Rava holds from a din like that, then certainly on the same day of Shabbos to appear like it's just capricious in the morning, yes, and in the afternoon, no, he would definitely have to hold from that. You understand? That's the idea of Hoel. That's the idea of Hoel as understood by Rashi. And I think that's the Baal HaMor's understanding too. That's why the Baal HaMor says, you might have great reasons on Yom Tov to institute. I don't deny there might be great reasons to institute muktzah on Yom Tov. And in terms, if everything were equal, I would say 100% go ahead with it. But it's part of the responsibility not just to make the gzeros, but to see the overall, to be mindful of the overall impact. And if it's going to have an impact on, that's why it doesn't make a difference to him. Shabbos and Yom Kippur versus Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's the same. To him, it never crossed his mind to say, well, that's just Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Oh, well, that's not a relevant factor. It's a question of a gzeira in another place is going to have an impact in Shabbos. It's going to have an impact in the view of Shabbos. So Yom Tov too would have that impact. According to the Ramban, it's essential that it's Shabbos and Yom Kippur, you'll see. According to him, it's only a problem of Shabbos and Yom Kippur. The problem would never even arise if it was Shabbos and Yom Tov. You'll see, it has a whole different way of understanding the sugya. But this is the way, I believe, that the Balamon and Rashi are understanding Rava. And that's why all the greatest reasons in the world are limited by the overall guideline that part of the instituting gzeros is to make sure people continue their respect for the system. You have that in American law too. A lot of times judges in Supreme Court, they'll express an idea that we shouldn't reverse things too quickly. I don't know if anybody is a Supreme Court watcher, but there's certain hot issues that ultimately some judges would like to reverse. Right, but they themselves would say we would never want to come out one day and just reverse it. They prefer to whittle away at it slowly. Why? Because it will undermine the people's respect for the Supreme Court. If it just seems like whoever's sitting there happens to be in control, and it's, if yesterday abortion was legal and tomorrow it's completely banned, it undermines, people are not going to, it's going to undermine the respect of these people as objective arbiters of law. Whatever it is, it's a consideration that they take into account. So sometimes you have to look at the overall impact. That's part of the idea of Hoel. Yeah. The way the person's, in other words, what we're saying is the person naturally relates to the system in a certain way. And we don't want to undermine that idea. Person views Shabbos as more chomer than anything else. We don't want to institute, and that is good. That's a good idea. That's a good thing for a person to have. We don't want to undermine those ideas. So it wouldn't be a problem if something was more chomer on Shabbos than on Yom Tov, because that makes sense to the person. He understands why that should be.
Yeah.
he wouldn't see a viciousness in that?
No, because he'll say the day is different. The day is different, and this day is lesser than Shabbos, so it makes sense. I already see Ochel Nefesh is Mutter. It doesn't undermine a certain natural relationship to the system. But if a person in his mind thinks of Shabbos as the ultimate expression of Malacha, and then he sees, wait a second, there's something I can do on Shabbos, and then I'm not allowed to do it on Yom Kippur. That's gonna undermine his idea. Yeah, so that's what Ramban talks about. So then, why didn't they make everything usher on Shabbos too? That the Ramban talks about. That the Ramban talks about that question. So why did they choose to make it mutter on both? Why didn't they choose to make it usher on both? You're absolutely right. They could have done either one. Ramban, I think he says, because on the whole, it's more important to be able to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, because that's a very common thing.
So not because of one time on Yom Kippur.
Right. But it shows you an amazing thing. What does it show you? It shows you an amazing thing. That when Chazal make takanos, when they make gezeros, that they're worried about being doma to malacha, they're not that worried. Right? They didn't think if we let a guy go to the mikvah, he's going to go and fix his kli, right? But there's an idea we should do as much as we can. You understand? But we have to recognize. We're not saying it's a vada that this is going to happen. If we let a guy go to the mikvah, he's going to be misakin a kli. But it does build up. It is part of building up a whole attitude, and we should do as much as we can. If there's a reason why we shouldn't, we won't. It's not like we're giving a matir for chilul Shabbos over here. It's just the way they approached the gzeros was to do as much as they can, given the on the balance.
It's like
right.
Exactly.
Right.